Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Every one of them in Zion that appeared before the Lord. And he said, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. And so strength should be natural to you. Because if you've appeared, then you go from strength to strength. But one of the ways to gain mileage in the spirit is by catching the Rhema word of God. So can you ask him to speak to your heart this evening one more time? Just tell him you are open to receive. He said, at a certain time, the angel of the Lord went down and troubled the waters. And he said, whoever steps in first. So there are moments where only those who are desperate receive. Can you ask him to talk to you? It doesn't take a message. It takes a word. And if your spirit can lay hold on that word, it can become everything in God for you. Can you ask him this evening? Spirits are committed to our words. They are legalistic beings. And so they will have you say what you will have. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. However, for you to receive what God has to offer, even though he loved the world so much that he had to die, you must have to confess with your mouth. He tells you how significant words are in the spirit. And one more time, if you would ask God, I'm open to receive. Speak to my heart this evening. Speak to my heart. Give me that word that will take me to the next level. Thank you, Abba Father. We align with you tonight. We ask that you flow through us like the eternal fountains. Father, we ask that you wet the test of our hearts, the appetite of our soul. Grant us, Lord, the privilege to look upon you tonight, even as we are changed from glory to glory. Lord, as your words come tonight, may they be specific to individuals, that everyone will receive, that will not just be part of the multitude, but you would isolate us and bring us definite words that pertains to our destinies and our ordinations. Father, I know we are many, but you relate to us as individuals. Your love is able to single everyone out and to bring that succor that is required. And so even as we look up to you tonight, we know we will not be ashamed, but our faces will be made radiant. Thank you, Father, because we receive of your spirit and we receive of your word, even as your name will be glorified. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. God bless you. It's always an honor to be here, to share fellowship. Every time I come here, I receive impartations. I was telling God's servant, I said, the spirit of excellence that is at work here, we must all catch it. Because he sent his word to Jacob, he lighted upon Israel. There's no need going into the spirit realm to find out the mystery of excellence. We see it on earth. So we connect and we receive. Praise God. A rich atmosphere of God's word and God's presence. and it's always an honor to come. The last time I was here, I remembered God's servant prayed for me, spoke prophetically into my life, and the evidence is undeniable. And so I know I'll receive again. And this evening, it's more beautiful and more glorious because he's not the only one here. On one end, it's difficult. On another end, it's a joy. It's difficult because when you are standing before generals, it becomes a body. These are fathers. These are elders. These are mentors. And so it's going to be a bit challenging. I pray the Holy Ghost will help me to ascend. Praise God. However, on another note, it's very important and it's a good thing for me because at the end of the service, hands will be laid and graces will be received. Praise God. And so very quickly, because of our time, let's honor the angel of God over this house, an elder, a mentor, and a father, God's servant, Pastor Uche Aigbe. Thank you so much, sir. Celebrate you. Celebrate Mama. Thank you so much. Your love, your passion, your humility, it's more than 1,000 sermons. I honor you deeply from my heart and I love you sincerely. Thank you for the support and thank you for the guidance and the counsels. God bless you. I would have gone straight to the word, but it will be an error not to honor these verses. It will be an error. And I don't want to be charged with error. And so I want to sincerely honor one of the fathers in the house this evening, God's servant, Pastor Yusuf Akila. Thank you so much. Heard him for the first time about 5-6 years ago when he visited Makodi to preach for Pastor Ebe Oloko. The authority of God's word, the forceful delivery, my goodness. Something hit me from that day. We are a product of many graces. Nobody appears. The audacity, the boldness, the power, the authority, it shook me and I said, no, this is the word of God. And I'm honored today to share the little that I've learned in that number of years. Again, I want to sincerely honor God's servant, Pastor Barnabas Arastus from Kaduna. Thank you so much, sir. It's an honor to have you. Whenever you go to the north, you know that Christianity is still sincere and pure. Because if you don't love Jesus, you can't go there. And so when we find people who are contending with the heat, we are honored to see that doggedness and that loyalty to Jesus. And again this evening, in that spirit of honor and excitement, can we please celebrate Pastor Landry Odoshola. Honor you, sir. Honor you, sir. It's such an honor to see you. And I'm sure I'll be receiving from you even at the end of this service. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you for coming and thank you for staying. You stayed not just because of the brethren, but because of me. Hallelujah. And all the pastors from Benin, from Nasarawa State, the leadership in the house, thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here to share with you. God bless you, Rich. So you reign, you ancient Zion's king, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign, you reign, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. I want to honor the Holy Spirit, but there is a physical Holy Ghost and there is a spiritual Holy Ghost. So this evening I'm here with my wife, my helper. This is a woman of God. She brought support to my life. And I can tell you I've found rest. Mrs. Osanaga Oroko, thank you so much for coming. And can we just lift our hands as we honor the Holy Ghost? One more time, never get tired. You ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign.
You ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne.
Thank you, Father, we love you. We honor you, we magnify your name. Let your name alone be glorified this evening in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please be seated. Our time is limited, so let's delve into the business of tonight. By the grace of God, I was here on Sunday morning and I advanced 6 benefits of prayer. I decided to give that broad exhortation that morning because I know the fathers were coming to build. Tonight, I will be a bit specific to narrow in to an emphasis that the Lord has put in my spirit, because we've come to that time where believers must grow in God. The Bible speaking in 1 John chapter 2 from verse 12, it says, I write unto you children, because your sins are forgiven you for his namesake. The realm of a child is the realm of the benevolence of God. The child has no record in Zion. The child has no track record in his walk with God on earth. All he enjoys is the benevolence of God, because he knows God as Father. And because God is Father, God is predisposed to meeting his need. However, the journey we have with God is not just about what God has to offer. There is an agenda God has in heart before he began the project of creation. When the 24 elders were worshipping and the 4 beasts were also worshipping, they brought us a secret from the scrolls of heaven. And one of the secrets they brought to humankind was the fact that all things were created for his pleasure. And so God is not just there to make us happy. He will make us happy because he's Father. However, the reason creation was necessary in the first place was for us to bring him joy. And so when you operate from the realm of God, you are only there to enjoy of the benevolence of God. But there are realms deeper than the realms of the benevolence of God. And so when John went further, he said, I write unto you young men, because these ones are beginning to gain age in the spirit. They are not necessarily gaining age in time, they are gaining age in the spirit. And so they are beginning to participate in the immortal agenda of God. And so at this time, it's not about what they receive anymore. He said, I write unto young men, because you are strong. The word of the Lord abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. And so these ones participate with God, partner with God to advance God's agenda that the devil is trying to truncate. Now, the person who is participating with God in advancing God's agenda is superior to the one who is receiving from God. The reason is because he is not just going to receive from God, but what he's doing will give him credit in Zion. Because when we get to Zion, we will not be rated based on the finished works of Christ. We will be rated based on our works of faith. On the strength of the finished works of Christ, we are all equal as children. But when we begin to do kingdom business, there are some who don't just receive from God. These ones partner with God to fight the battles of Elohim. Because there is a contrary force that wants to bring down the government of God on the face of the earth. And so he said, I write unto you children, because you are young men, because you are strong. You know, when man was created, he was not created necessarily to receive from God, because all things were his. When all things are yours, you don't need to ask God to receive, because you are an heir of God. So when man was created, he was created as a dominion. The word is kuriotes. It said, let them have dominion. When you study the stratification of the spirit realm, you are going to find that princes are in ranks. And the first rank in heavenly strata is the rank of thrones. It's in Colossians 1 from verse 15 to 17. It says, Jesus is the first. After Jesus, then you have thrones. That's why when you go to heaven, you will meet 24 elders that sit on thrones. When you journey from there, you now meet dominions. Dominions are the ones God wields his estates to, so they can advance God's government. And so when he was talking to young men, he was talking to those who have matured to the realm of dominion. So these ones can govern and so pretend over God's government. Most of us here are fathers. We love our children. but we'll not give any of them our properties until they are mature. You can pay their school fees, you can give them food, but when it comes to property and estate, there's a level of maturity and credibility that children must attain before they are given allowance to superintend over those properties. And so when John was writing to men and the children of God, he said there is a realm beyond the realm of the benevolence of God. In the realm of the benevolence of God, you know him as Father. But in the realm of God's dominion and agenda, you know him as King. And so those ones we fight to advance God's kingdom and God's agenda. And then he went even further and he said, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. When you start walking in the spirit, you will discover there is a horizontal journey and there is a vertical journey. The horizontal journey is about kingdom operations. It's about reward system and it's about authorities. How to advance God's kingdom. But the vertical journey is about God himself. So you come to a level where it's no longer about what you can do for God. It's about where you can stand with God. And so these are cadres that John was writing. And so when I started teaching on Sunday, I was dealing with matters that pertain to children. The ability to receive from God. And that's why when I gave us benefits of prayer, everything I spoke about profits us. I told you when you start walking with God through prayer, you will begin to know him. You will be invited into relationship. And then immortality will be credited to you. And so when you leave this world, you will not be remembered necessarily for what car you drove. You will be remembered for the immortal dimension that you downloaded into the earth realm. I said the second benefit of prayer is the fact that you are allowed to inherit power. You have power to do things. You can cast out demons. You can open blind eyes. And that is beautiful. And I gave us so many of those benefits, about six of them. But tonight, because I don't have time, I would have done a recap. I want to show us some other corridors of prayer that is deeper than just having benefits. There are corridors of prayer where you participate with God to advance God's agenda. When you get to that level, you have migrated into the heavenly dimension. That is when prayer, you will really begin to see the full import of prayer. If all prayer does for you is to receive from heaven, you are still on earth. The journey of prayer is into realms in God. The journey of prayer is about partnership with God to advance God's agenda. And so this evening, I want to advance four things about prayer that every believer who has inherited the spirit of prayer and is walking prayer as a lifestyle will begin to experience. When you get there, know that you are not just receiving from God now. Now you are a partner with God to advance God's kingdom. And everything this conference wants to achieve, in addition to what you receive from God, is to bring you to a point where God can depend on you to advance his government. You know, we are all Christians. But it doesn't mean we are all the same in the kingdom. Just the same, just the way we are all Nigerians, but we are not all the same. There's a Nigerian this evening that can say, tomorrow, nobody should go out. Even though all of us are Nigerians, we will not go out. So when you start talking about the right of citizenship, which is what you call new creation reality, all of us will be the same. But when you come into authority, somebody is called president among the Nigerians. Somebody is called senator. Another person is called governor. Another person is called rare admirer. If you talk to him carelessly, some naval officers will come to you and say, what is your name again? The thing is, you are all Nigerians, but he is rare admirer. So if you don't recognize the rank, you have problem. So the goal of God is not just for us to enjoy the benefits that are in God, but it's for us to grow in the spirit. And one of the things prayer does is to allow us the opportunity to grow in God. And so when you begin to grow in prayer, certain things begin to happen. And these are the things I want to share tonight. And I call it the governing operations of prayer. Because this one is about kingdom governance. This one is about dominion. This one is about participating with God to advance God's agenda. And so the first thing or the first realm prayer brings you into when you start doing kingdom business is when you become a legislator. The reason
the heritage of God is available to our generation is because there are certain men through prayer that insist to keep it. I used to think when you study the Bible and you get some revelation, some things will start happening. Until when I started working with God, God began to point to some people and told me to honor them. I now realize certain things happen on earth because some individuals are present. And so I told myself, I will have to grow to become like one of them before I leave this world. Paul was speaking to a church and he said, when I depart, he said, grievous wolves shall come and they shall plunder you and take some of you as their disciples. Now, the Holy Ghost was there. How come these wolves could not come while Paul was there? That means Paul was not a church member. Paul was something other than a church member. He was a custodian. The Bible speaking in Colossians 4:12, he said, Epaphras is one of you. But hear this, he's a born servant of Christ. He said, laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Now, this Epaphras was not in Colossus. He was somewhere with Paul, but it was his prayer that made the believers in Colossus to be accurate. That means if Epaphras stopped praying, even their doctrine will become wrong. So the reason the pastors can read scripture and preach accurate doctrine is because the guy safeguarded the portal of light through his altar. And so when Epaphras is gone, even the doctrine will be affected. Jesus, Paul was going to Damascus in Acts chapter 9 to plunder the church, and Jesus appears to Paul. And I thought when a man meets Jesus, he has come to the zenith of encounters. And Jesus told him, go into the city, you'll be told what to do. And when Paul entered the city, a man showed up and told him, brother Saul, the Jesus that appeared to you on the way sent me. How can a man meet Jesus and Jesus send him to a man? Because men are not the same. These ones have journeyed so much so that even if you go to heaven, they will send you back to earth. And say that thing you looked for to heaven is on earth. There's a custodian carrying it. Those are legislators in the spirit. And so when we are teaching about prayer, it's beyond receiving bread and wine. When we are teaching about prayer, it's a journey into realms in God. It's a place of stature and rank. Because when you leave this world, the things you prayed about and received may not be relevant again. It is who you become by prayer that will matter. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. There remained for me a crown. How did he know that they give crowns? Because when Paul was walking on the earth, he was journeying with the Spirit of God. And so prayer is beyond asking and receiving. Prayer is actually a syllabus in the Spirit that brings you to realms of maturity and dominion with God. And the first realm you will enter is the realm of a legislator. A legislator is a man that proclaims laws. So when that man speaks, his words become laws. And so what God wants to do is to co-rule the earth realm with us. So with the things we utter, they are not just words born out of intelligent speaking. They become laws in the spirit. So a man can grow so much in prayer and he will stand up and say, no church will be bombed again. He doesn't need to go to say it on a radio station. Because he said it, it becomes a law in the spirit. If you attempt to bomb churches, angels will just appear and strike you. You won't know why. A man can rise up and make a statement, and that statement will be valid for 50 years. It will be like a law among men. Such are the realms prayers bring us into. Because when a man begins to pray, he becomes a legislator. And there are three cadres of legislation. Number one is the realm of a watcher, a watchman. A watchman is one who stands high in the spirit. So when a watchman is praying, what he gains in prayer is ascension. He stands high in the spirit and he looks ahead to safeguard the church from danger. I'm showing you places we get to in prayer. Because the reason some persons are tired of praying is simply because they exhaust their prayer points too early. And so when they are coming to pray, it's like coming to shop. So they bring a lot of prayer points. And when they finish shopping those prayer points, prayer finishes. But when you find a man who has understood prayer, when he's praying, even the prayer points are a distraction. And the thing is, when you go there, those things others pray for, you don't need to pray. They will leave you naturally. You know, when a man is running on earth, he will need to dodge obstacles. But when you fly, even the mountains become small. When you take off on the plane, you don't need to dodge the mountain. The mountain will not be there anymore. And so when you teach people how to grow in prayer, you are also teaching them how to receive answers. But this kind of answer doesn't come to them. They become the answer. Because they've ascended to where God himself is. And so the first realm you get to as a legislator is the realm of a watchman. If the body of Christ don't have watchmen, we will become endangered species. Because it's the watchman that tells us where the enemy is coming from. It's the watchman that tells us the strategies of the enemy. The job of the watchman is not necessarily to fight, it's to see. Because when he ascends, he can look into the cocoons of darkness and tell you the plans they have. Even he will not know. He just has an advantage called height. And so there is a realm in prayer you get to, you become a legislator. And the reason you are a legislator is because of the things you can see. When you see from that realm, you become an alarm system for the body of Christ. Let me read two scriptures. When I look at time, I shut down. Songs of Solomon. Or let me begin with Isaiah 59 verse 16. So you understand what I'm saying in context. This is God speaking. He said, and he saw that there was no man. And he wondered that there was no intercessor. What do you mean? That means if there is no man who can advance God's government on earth, the multitude is useless. Because all of them can be a plea. Because no intercessor was found, all the men were not men anymore. Hope you know, Luke 18:1 says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. So if a man is not praying and they check from heaven, he's not a man. One of the ways they define men in the spirit is that incense arises and ascends from them. And so when God looked at the earth and he didn't find anybody praying, he said there was no man. So every other person breathing can be like animals. And that's why you find when people don't pray, they become cheap priests in life. The devil can show up and kick them. The devil can create a pattern and a cycle in that family. Every 2 years he comes and picks somebody like a hawk. They just become like animals. That the devil can damage their destiny anytime he wants. Because if you are not praying, you cease to be a man. He said he looked on the earth, there was no man. And he wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought him his salvation. So, it is the presence of intercessors that makes for the agenda of God to be fulfilled. When there are no men praying on earth, the agenda of God will be truncated. No matter how powerful God is. Because the earth, he has given to the sons of men. And so, these intercessors who are legislators are divided into ranks and cadres. And the first is the watchman. The job of the watchman is to see ahead. In the ancient times, when kingdoms are built, they have sentry officers that stand on top of the fence. Their job is to watch day and night. If a messenger is coming, they discern and they can tell that this is a messenger. If it's an attack, they now warn those at the gate that something is coming so they can brace up and prepare for attack. If those guys sleep, the whole territory is in danger. And so the first operation of the legislator is to become a watcher. How come things happen to the church and we are taking on our words? It means there are many pastors, but there are few watchers. Because when the watchers are no more, our numbers count for nothing. It is the watchers that give us the strategic advantage we need because they see ahead before the enemy invades. And if we can no longer see, then we become victims and we become vulnerable. Isaiah 56, verse 9 to 10. Here's what the Bible says. See how the devil works. I wish I had time to show you the dynamics of kingdom. So you know that thing that happened in your family didn't happen. It was orchestrated. If you had eyes, you would have seen that they planned it for 2 years. You said something just happened because you are on earth. In the spirit, they planned it. They knew the hour and the second it was going to happen. They ordered and orchestrated all of that motion for it to happen. Nothing happens on earth. Everything on earth is orchestrated. Because the real realm where the game is played is in the spirit. And so when we become watchers, we see there. And if we don't see there, our gates become porous. He said, all ye beasts of the field, he said, come to devour. Yea, all ye beasts in the forest. Now, this was a cry in the demonic realm. The territory has become porous. All of you who are beasts, come. There is free. There are free priests here to devour. Because of what? Look at what verse 10 said. You are seeing why families become porous, ministries become porous, nations become porous. He said, his watchmen are blind. They are ignorant. They are dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down. loving to slumber. And so every time the ministry of the watchman is withdrawn, everybody becomes a victim. They don't even need the devil to plan. They cry and call them to come because the defenses have become porous. And so when legislators rise, who can tell the devil, stand back, is because somebody is watching and he can decipher their agenda, plan ahead of time, and give the body of Christ a strategic advantage. When men begin to pray, their eyes are open and their eyes are flooded with light. It is that light that becomes the advantage. When we say we are invincible, we are not just quoting scriptures. When we say we are invincible, there is a protocol in the spirit that we obey. And that protocol is the protocol of the watchman. If you don't see ahead, you will be a victim. That's how the kingdom operates. Now, when you finish with the watchman, then you have the gatekeepers. The gatekeepers are the intercessors that fight. Not every intercessor fights. There are some intercessors that see. And when they see, they warn. There are other intercessors that fight. If you have prayed, or you have prayed with people, you will notice that if you start praying for long, a point comes where somebody just says, Father, in the name of Jesus, his eyes open. He prays with you for 5 minutes. He's writing. He's looking for his book. He starts writing notes. And you are wondering, why am I not hearing or writing anything? Your job is not to see. Your job is to build stamina. Because a watchman sees, a gatekeeper fights. And so what a gatekeeper builds in prayer is stamina. Because he's the one who defends the gate and insists that nobody will cross and destroy the defenses. And so when we begin to pray and grow in prayer, you will find either one of these three things. Either your eyes are illuminated and you begin to see and you can decipher what the devil is doing and give the body of Christ a strategic advantage through information and revelation, or you build so much stamina. People pray for 4 hours. They say, let's go and rest. You say, what do you mean rest? This is where we rest. The rest that the weary has is when they pray, because it's with the stammering tongues that God brings them rest. That kind of grace is the grace of the gatekeeper. He builds stamina when he prays. He says, you dearly beloved, building up yourself upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And so when a man begins to pray beyond needs, one of the things that happened to him is he is gathered and infused with the strength of God. In Isaiah 40 verse 28 to 31, he said, have you not heard? Has it not been said to you that the everlasting God fainted not? The idea is about fainting. He said, neither is he weary. He said, he giveth power to the faint, and unto them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Those are watchers. Those are gatekeepers. He said, even the youth shall faint. That means this business is not a business you prosecute because you are healthy. Somebody can have tuberculosis and pray more than you. And somebody can be 90 years old and pray more than a young man of 22. It's not about physical strength. This is about a grace you tap into. He said, he giveth power to the faint. Unto them that have no might, he increases strength. And he said, in case you think it's natural, even the youth shall faint. He said, the young men shall utterly fall. He said, but they that wait upon the Lord, he renews their strength. He said, they mount up with wings. This teaching of prayer now is not God, give me breakthrough. This teaching of prayer now is equipping for battle. He giveth power to the faint. Unto them that have no might, he increases strength. And he said, when they run, they are not weary. When they walk, they don't faint, because they've mounted up with wings. There are a group of legislators that God raises to defend the gate. And so, do you think we are at peace because of government? Do you think we are at peace because of the army? Since the banditry operations began, there are some men who have not stopped fasting. You are sleeping and you say, Lord, we thank you for what you are doing. That thanksgiving you are giving is because somebody has been fasting for 4 years. Since they heard about banditry, they lost their sleep. They've been praying and interceding, Lord, restore. It is the prayer of such that has kept the gate closed. If those guys stop, the church will be overrun. And so every time God wants to leave a witness in a generation, he will raise those who are gatekeepers. They defend the gate and they stop invasion into the church. Now, one of such people is more important to God than 1,000 Christians. 1,000 Christians can gather and ask God for bread, but God can overlook them for that one man. Because if that one man goes down, the heritage of a generation will be at stake. And so when we come to a conference of prayer, thank God for the answers he gives, and he will give many tonight. But over and above that answer, every one of us must insist, I will never remain the same. Father, if there are men you depend on to carry out your agenda in Africa, I must become one of such men. If there are men you depend on for your voice to be heard, I must become one of such men. Thank you for the healing. Thank you for the breakthrough. But over and above the breakthrough, who are the men fighting the battles of God? That's when prayer eternally becomes profitable. And I can tell you, very few people have grown in prayer to that point where God can commit such hallowed responsibilities to. In this conference, men will rise that will pray to defend the gates. 2 Kings 22 verse 4. See the gatekeepers. He said, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum up the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. Their job is to decide what enters the gates and what are kept and what are forbidden from entering the gates. And so when you find infiltration, it means the rank of the gatekeepers are depleted. When you find corruption, it means the rank of the gatekeepers are depleted, because it is the responsibility of the gatekeepers to fight out corruption. And so when the ministry of prayer is at work, things can be changed through prayer. But over and above that, strange men begin to emerge. And you will find some of them, you will look at them, they have the strength of a bear. They can be at the altar for 7 days stretch, and they are praying. And you ask yourself, is this a human being? No, he's not a human being. He's a battle axe. He's a weapon of war. He's been carved in the fires of prayer. And so the things God wants to achieve, it is through such men that those things can be achieved. They are called gatekeepers. And the third category of legislators are the intercessors. The job of the intercessor is to negotiate from the throne room and bring verdict in favor of the righteous. So the intercessor is the one that has utterance. The intercessor is the one who knows what to say, and he understands the protocol of the presence. You know, when you look at the body of Christ today, you will know that we are doing business in shallow waters. You will know that the business is in shallow waters. That's why even when the presence of God is heavy, people can be chatting. Not because it's part of media trying to transmit the message. He's trying to give, to tell somebody, I come. Service remain 5 minutes. And if service doesn't close on time, he will carry his bag and said, I've heard enough. He's going home. In the days of Paul, they preached into the middle of the night. Somebody fell down, Eutychus, and died. Paul came down, carried him up, fell upon him. He didn't wake up. It was in the morning he woke up. But they continued the service, notwithstanding. In the days of Paul, the Bible said, no man dared join themselves with these people. Because those were the days when, if you lie to the Holy Ghost, you fall down and die. Because what they were building was the foundation of the church. Error could not be allowed. Because any error that enters that foundation will affect the church till date. And so the vetting system was rigid. That's why kingdoms, kings, nations, all kinds of army could not shut them down. A point came, they looked at two men and said, this be the men that turned their world upside down. What is the power they have? When such men walk to you and say, God said, just know it's God talking. It's not out of impulse, because they know the realm. I know a man many years ago, whether he was in the body or in the spirit, I can't tell. He said, but this man was carried to the third heaven, because God carries them to the tabernacles of Zion. When they come down and tell you, God said, by March, Boko Haram will end. If you like doubt it, it must happen. What they are saying is not out of permutation of human intelligence. They are telling you the breaking news from the courts of heaven. They participate there. And so such men, when they pray, they journey. They journey because they need to hear the conclusions of the verdicts of heaven. When such a man walks into church, he actually never left the church. Because everywhere he goes to, he carries the atmosphere of heaven. That man can be around you are talking, he has been quickened. And the next time he talks, he tells you, this is what the elders are saying. This is what the angels are saying. This is what is happening. How come Christianity has become a social gathering? Because we've not explored prayer. We do thanksgiving, praise and worship. These are beautiful. But when you want to groan in the spirit and journey through the gate of the soul into the chambers of the spirit, there is a place you labor. It's the place of prayer. And when we genuinely begin to pray, there are those who will see ahead and warn the church. When we begin to pray, there are those who will have stamina like the angels of heaven to defend the integrity of God. And when we begin to pray, there will be those who can tell you what the Father is saying now. That is when the church will find comfort and consolation. Because the things altered, they have the weight and the signature of the immortals. Heaven and earth can pass away. Those things will not fail. Their walls have become like the scripture itself. Did you not read about Paul? He said, concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord. He said, but I speak as one who is trustworthy. How can a man talk and his words will be equal to scripture? Where is he talking from? Where is he talking from? What does he know? It was the same Paul that said, I have the mind of Christ. He says, so you can judge all things. Because the guy has been in the courtroom for too long. And so even when God is not talking, he knows what God will say. He has been there for a very long time. On any subject, the one God says, he will tell you. The one God does not say, he will still tell you. And if God speaks, it's the same thing God will tell you. Because he lives there. He lives there. That is where his solace is drawn from. So when somebody like Paul is praying, he's entering court sessions in the spirit. And he wants to bring you verdict. And so when there is contradiction, you can walk into the church and find out where are the legislators. And they will tell you, don't worry about what the governor is saying. He said, by this time tomorrow, this thing will change. But you see, when such men are no longer in the church, we will depend on human connection to survive. Because if you cannot hear from the court of the spirit, you must have to hear from the court in the natural. By all means, verdict must come from somewhere. But the advantage of the believer is not in the world system. It's in the spirit. We are supposed to dictate for the world system from our throne. And our throne is not a chair. It's an altar. This is where true Christianity begins from. Because the idea of salvation was to restore you back to kingdom. Salvation would not have been necessary if Adam didn't fall. And so we are not supposed to stop at salvation. We are supposed to journey from salvation into kingdom. And if we were doing kingdom, this is where the business would have been. Where men participate with God to establish his dominion. When Jesus was walking upon the face of the earth, he never had need to pray for cancer. He never had need to pray for food. Because Jesus never failed. He was walking as a son. And as a son, he was bringing verdicts to the face of the earth. That's why when he prayed, the first thing he said was, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. As it is in heaven. How can you say thy kingdom come? Thy will be done on earth. If you don't know what is in heaven. And in that same verse the Bible said, the Son of Man which is in heaven. John 3:13. Why he was walking in Nazareth. You are the one who think he's in Nazareth. Why he's talking from here. His sight is from the spirit. Because he's as tall as the clouds of the heavens. He can pick the heart of the Father any day, any time. And so the words he speak, he said they are spirit. They are alive. When I talk, I am echoing what the courts of heaven have concluded. And so a generation must rise that must function in the order of the patriarchs. Who don't speak just because they are educated. They speak because they are informed. They don't speak because they are wise. They speak because they have seen. They don't speak because they participate with humans. They speak because immortals whisper to their ears. And until such men rise, our Christianity may be trapped in the natural realm. And so we'll appear intelligent until spirits come. And one demon can disenfranchise 1,000 Christians. And you are wondering, somebody is crying, what happened? He said he's confused. Another person is crying, what happened? He said there's death in the family. Another person is crying, say what happened? He said they don't know what is going on. And everybody is living from the realm of uncertainty. We are those who know what is happening in the spirit. The potential is there, but it will take prayer to activate it. And unfortunately, not many are praying. Prayer is beyond asking God for things. Your true destiny lies on the altar. And so when you begin to pray, you begin to go to where your original destiny was designed. Because there are most of us here that God depends on for earth to be accurate. Because captured in our DNA is the grace to be a watcher. And until we ascend our throne, which is the altar, we cannot see the things that are eternal. Most of us, our strength is on the altar. And until we begin to pray, the stamina required to deliver on our destiny, we will not find it. And most of us, our strength is on the altar because we are supposed to be custodians of the oracles of God. but we have captured all the oracles of Harvard University, all the oracles of Oxford, and we brag with mundane knowledge. Knowledge that is falling. Those knowledge are important because you are participating in the earth realm, and there's nothing wrong with it. But what if you are summoned to where your true originality dwells? What will you say? I told myself I will never speak chemistry alone. There's a language that is superior to chemistry. Because the more I read it, the more mundane I saw it. The more I read it, the more falling I saw it. And I know a language that is spirit and life. That is the one that can communicate the weight of your destiny. And so every other thing you are doing becomes a platform for manifesting destiny. The first thing prayer makes out of you is to become a legislator. So that you too can govern over the agenda and the program of God. The second thing prayer does is what I call civilization recalibration. Time is a body. My God. Civilizations are born from the spirit realm. Men on their own are not intelligent enough to fabricate systems. The Bible said the path of the just man is ordered. Men were designed to be ordered, to be led by spirits. Spirits are the architects of this realm. We are only transmitters of their wisdom, their will, and their purposes. And so when a man begins to pray, one of the things God will do to him and through him is to give him the blueprint of different civilizations. So that man becomes an architect of that civilization. If you study Genesis chapter 4 from verse 25, the Bible told us a story concerning Cain and his brother Abel. The devil was trying to infiltrate this civilization, and he went and corrupted Adam. And when God knew that he wanted to destroy this civilization, God kicked him out of the garden and blocked it so that he won't come in to destroy it. The devil wouldn't stop. He now went to their seeds because these ones are trying to repent. And he went through Cain, and Cain brought evil to the earth by murdering his brother through envy and jealousy. And when that happened, the Bible said Cain left the presence of God and went to build a city called Nod. And there Cain began to pioneer fallen civilization. That was where music was born from. Because in the realm of the spirit, you don't play jazz. In the realm of the spirit, you play the strings of the heart. Because the heart is made up of strings and vibrations. That's why you can connect with God. In the realm of the spirit, sounds are part of us. The Bible speaks in Ezekiel chapter 28 from verse 13, when he spoke about one of the princes. He said, thy tap and thy tabrets were in you from the day of your creation. Every sound that resonates with your destiny is supposed to be in your spirit. And so as you begin to journey with God and resonance takes place, that sound breaks out from within you. Sound is not supposed to enter you from outside. Sound is supposed to break out from within you, because the strings are resonance frequencies that are born through your intercourse with God. And so when this guy had no connection with God anymore, he created another external sound to create vibration. That was when the man created the system of transactions, buying and selling. It was Cain that pioneered all of that, because he was trying to build independence from God. Now, we are in the earth realm, so we can't run away from it. We will now enter into it to colonize it. So we are not saying we should leave it and go back to the mountain. However, over and above the systems of the world, we must stay connected to Zion so that we infuse Zion into where we are. And so in Genesis 4, verse 25 and 26, the Bible said, from the days of Enosh, it said, men began to call upon the name of the Lord, because what Cain created made it difficult for men to remember God. Men could live comfortably without God. And that was the first time men learned to exist without God. And so the only technology that was recreated to bring back the presence of God and the government of the heavens to the earth was the altar that was created by Enosh. And when men began to call upon the name of God, the program of God was re-engineered again. You see the same thing happen in the life of Noah. Noah knew this system so much that when God wanted to destroy the earth, God showed him a pattern. It was that pattern God showed him that made Noah to create an ark. And when the world was created, the waters could not destroy the ark. What was destroying the world was what was exalting Noah. And so a point comes, a man attains invisibility because he's living by a system that is superior to the natural realm. Take for example, when you want to survive financially on earth, you have to buy and sell. You have to provide value. And we do that too because we are in the world. But we are not limited to buying and selling. The Bible said, cast your bread upon the waters. You will find it after many days. He said, give a portion to seven. Give a portion to eight. You know not the evil that will come upon the earth. If you are doing buying and selling alone, if evil comes to the earth, it will go down. But when you give to seven, give to eight, even if the earth crumbles, you will still be wealthy. Because this one is not earthly civilization. It's heavenly civilization. And so when men begin to pray, they begin to download heaven to earth. Because our invincibility is not what earth creates. Our invincibility is what heavens create. We will participate with earth. But over and above that participation, there is a superior participation we have that makes us live over and above the limitations of the earth. That's why I say when men are cast down, you know that there is something you have in you that makes it impossible for you to be cast down. It's that you say you are lifted up. Why is that so? So when we talk, we don't communicate. When we talk, we create. It's a civilization. But you can't know it. No matter what you read, you can't know it. Because there's no book that captured it. It's not in any syllabus in the world. That when men are going down, the way you take yourself up is to talk yourself up. And so when we are talking, we are not motivating ourselves. When we are talking, we are mobilizing spirits. Because the Bible said, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, and the earth was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. What did God do? He didn't talk about the darkness. Because in the realm of God, what you say is what you have. If God spoke about that darkness, God would have remained in darkness. And why God hovered upon the water? He said, let there be light. And light showed up. That's a civilization from another realm. There are many other things we should download, but it will take prayer to go there. When you find a believer defeated, he's living on earth. That's his problem. But the moment a believer begins to live from the superior realm, nothing takes him unawares. Anything that happens, he will come out of it. The thing that kills men is a platform for testimonies. He will tell you like he knows his name. And watch and see, it will surely happen that way. Because he knows something that is beyond what was written by professors in Harvard. He knows something that is superior to what was written by experts. There is something that experts didn't write. Immortals wrote them. When an expert writes something, it's intelligent enough to define. It's intelligent enough to rationalize. But it's not strong enough to deal with battles. Because when crisis comes, you will need something more than the ability to rationalize. You will need something that can lift you from the miry clay. You will need something that can lift you from the dungeon. Those are civilizations. When Daniel was praying, they thought prayer was his disadvantage. The king gave a law and said, nobody should pray in this land. Daniel said, no, I'm not saved because I'm working with you. I'm saved because I'm connected to another government. And the Bible said three times in a day, Daniel 6:10, Daniel prayed facing Jerusalem. They now caught him. And you now say, oh, prayer is a disadvantage. No, it's a platform for manifestation. When they took Daniel to the lion's den, he never asked for mercy. And you are saying, come on, why not pull the strings? You are working with senators. You are working with governors. Call somebody that knows somebody to talk to the king. That's a waste of time. Because what you will discover is the senators have already ganged up. And so instead of begging, Daniel went back to where he belongs. And when they threw Daniel into the lion's den, the Bible said suddenly, the lions forgot how to eat. Because he came with another realm. And so when he entered that pit became Zion. And so in Zion, even lions feed on grass. Because Daniel comes with an atmosphere. He brought Zion to the pit. And so the lions were relocated. When the lions are in the fallen world, they will eat flesh. But when the lion enters Zion, they eat grass. And because Daniel is not grass, there's no way the lion can eat him. Because it came with another word. Why did you know that when the king saw a hand wrote something and everybody was fidgeting, including the king, Daniel showed up and he said, oh, this is what is written. Mene, mene, teke ufasi. How did you know that language? Because that's where he lives. That's the word he brought into the lion's den. And that's why the lion could not eat it. When you pray, you become an architect of civilization. The world is dark. The world is wicked. Forget it. When you go to the market, it's not only buying and selling that happens there. There are spirits there confusing men. There are spirits there exchanging destinies. There are spirits there killing and maiming. There are spirits there subjugating men. You can enter a place and buy the church card and leave your star behind. But you may never know. And you will say, I went to the market to buy the church card. No, you didn't go to the market to buy the church card. You actually went to the market to forgo your star. It will take an architect to tell you, where are you coming from? When you left here, I saw brightness on you. I saw glory on you. I saw grace on you. Where did you go to? Until you know what men don't know. Until you see what men don't see. And the way to do that is to leave from the altar. If you don't find your altar, you will not participate in the agenda of God. And instead of downloading civilization from the realm of God, you become a victim of the demonic civilization that is already in existence. When believers know this, meetings like this will not just be meetings of impartation. It will become the ecclesia indeed. Because when we gather, everybody will represent something. You will look towards the right, and the people sitting there will be the ones that carry the oracles of God. You will look towards the left, the people sitting there will be custodians of wisdom for witty invention. And so our gathering will become the ecclesia. You can sit with somebody, and because you shook hands with that person, you will live with favor. Because that person represents favor. He has caught it in the spirit, and he has the power to bring it to the earth. This is why believers must pray. He said that when we gather together, it's like the oil flowing from the head of Aaron down to his beard, onto his head. It's like the dew upon Mount Hermon. He said, there the Lord commanded his blessing. Because everyone comes with a dimension. What are you carrying? You showed up with a suit? They don't wear suit in the spirit. No. They don't wear suit. In the spirit, we are clothed with glory. And so it doesn't matter who is wearing a tuxedo. When they look at you in the spirit will not discern the tuxedo. They will find out what is the illumination coming out of your spirit. That's a sign that you journey. But many don't journey. When we talk earth. When we sing earth. When we interact earth. That's why we are victims of the things spirits do on earth. But when we pray, we cross the gates. Because we've been invited into the fellowship of the beloved. And so anyone who is not going is because he's not interested. And you don't have to be an apostle. You don't have to be a prophet. The Bible said women received their dead back to life. Women, people that were written off, they went somewhere and they touched the secrets of life. And so when they come around, nothing dies. They touch it. Such women, if they are at home, they don't even need to water their flower. The life they carry can make the flowers to grow on its own accord. If anything dies, they call it back to life. What kind of thing is that? It's not common among men, but there is a realm where it's common. It's the realms of the heavens. And so when we pray, we journey to those realms. Ha, ha, he. He, he, ha. Ah, ha, ha. Ah, ha, ha. Ah, he, ah, he. He, ah, ha. Aye, aye. Ah, he, he, he. He, he, ah. Ah, aye, aye. You are not ordinary. You have just not journeyed. You are wearing earthly weapons. A cloth you wear that wears away in 6 months. That's what you anchor your pride on. No. There's something you wear that is eternal. There's a realm you get to, you can wear wisdom. And because of that wisdom, even kings will look for you. There's a realm you go to, you wear favor. And so when they are admiring you, you know it's not the cloth. You know it's something deeper than the cloth. You have gone somewhere. And so when you talk, the things that favor creates, you begin to create it. People can be in ministry for 10 years before they build. You came with favor. And because favor provoke speed, because favor commands the allegiance of men, you can build in 6 months, and they look at you and say, how are these things happening? I went somewhere. And the things that come with, they build, they create speed. That's how men are supposed to live. That's why the Bible speaking, Isaiah said, I and the children that the Lord has given to me, we are for signs and we are for wonders. The Bible speaking concerning Zacharias the priest, he said, you and the men that sit with you, men greatly wonder that how come our life does not command supernatural dimensions anymore. We are no longer traveling. People are short-circuited by Instagram, short-circuited by Facebook, and you are seeing things that are created by fallen generations. Whereas there is a place where we look at the perfect law of liberty. There's a place where we behold and we are changed. There's a place where we press and we enter. So when you come out, you come with the God element. How come men have become ordinary? No prayer, no journey, no prayer. No dimension, no prayer, no glory. That's how it works. Everyone carries that potential, but you must have to journey in the spirit. And when you start praying, you are going to catch things in the spirit to bring to the earth realm. That was the pattern God created. Eden was not created, Eden was planted. And so when you pray, you catch things and you plant them. The things we enjoy today, there are men who caught them 30 years ago and they planted them. Don't live here until you plant something for your generation. Don't live here. If you live without planting something, you never existed. You only pass through time. Don't go from here until you catch something. That's what life is about. To see and to plant. To catch and to plant. To bring from the heavens. To download from heaven. Because we are captains of civilizations. But it will take prayer for that to happen. We are out of time. You want to pray in the Holy Ghost? I wish I had time to talk to you about the third thing. The third thing prayer does is to shine light on you. I was impressed when I heard that Pastor Landry was dealing with it yesterday. It was Paul that showed us. The Bible said something in Galatians 1:4. It said, this earth is a crooked generation. We are living in a crooked world. The Bible said that the earth is the habitation of cruelty. And the reason earth has become cruel is because Isaiah 60 verse 1 said, darkness shall cover the earth. So people are living in darkness. That's why they don't know what they ought to do. Wickedness is an offspring of darkness. And so if light does not come, even the believer will either be a victim of darkness or he will be an orchestrator of darkness. And so when a man begins to pray, what prayer does is to shed light. Paul speaking in Ephesians 1:17, he said, for this cause I pray for you, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. That the eyes of your understanding. There are three Greek words Paul used here. The first is that God may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. That's Sophia. It is functional knowledge. Number two, he said, and revelation. That's apocalypsis. And number three, he said that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. That's fortizo. Those are three realms of authority. The first realm of authority is to know what to do. That's Sophia. It took me knowing where House on the Rock is to drive here. But that I came here does not mean I will participate. After coming here, apocalypses had to take place. This door had to be open for me to come in. And that I came in does not still mean I will participate until fortizo takes place. Light is on. When light is shared, Paul said something. He didn't just say you will see. No. He said that you may know the hope of your calling. You know what the hope of your calling is? Let me give you a few of them quickly. The Bible said, as he is, so are we in this world. That's the hope of your calling. The hope of your calling means you have become the replica of the Christ. Did you not read what the Bible said? It said, if you have not the spirit of Christ, you are not of him. That means every one of us is a carrier of Christ, a replica of Christ. That's why Paul speaking, he said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But you may not know this, and you may think the hope of your glory is that man that promised you a car. And that's why many are disflowered. because they think their glory is tied to that man. You may think the hope of your glory is the promise of gratuity, and you work for 35 years. After you resign, you discover there's no gratuity anywhere, because the hope of your glory is not the promise of government. The hope of your glory is Christ in you. And what does Christ in you do? Christ in you does everything God does. The Bible said that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so if Christ is in you, then you too can become a co-creator. That's what prayer does. When a man begins to pray, he stops seeing himself. He starts seeing Jesus. It's just like going to the mirror. You have never seen yourself before, brothers and sisters. Everything you think you are is what the mirror told you. And so when you begin to behold him in prayer, something happens. You become a reflection of the Christ. And so suddenly they tell you, there's an epidemic killing everybody. And you ask yourself, if Jesus were here, is he going to run away? The moment that reality downs on you, the epidemic will know that you know. And if he knows that you know, it will give way. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Can I tell you another thing that prayer will make you see? The Bible said in Colossians 2:13, it said we were quickened with Christ. We were quickened. So anything that cannot bring Christ down cannot bring you down. Anything that cannot destroy Christ cannot destroy you. This is not boast. This is who you are. But it will take prayer for it to become real to you. You can read it from the Bible. It will never be real. It becomes real when light is furnished. The moment light is furnished, you know that that's who you are. And immediately, something will change. You begin to manifest what Christ manifests. You begin to do what Christ does. And you become exactly like the Christ. When you know this, you are literally intoxicated. That's why I tell believers, there are many times I go for meetings. I'm overcharged with this truth. And I don't even need to pray for the sick. I say, you are all healed. I just know it. You are all healed. And cancer vanishes. Ears open. I see. Why is it so? Prayer makes it real. Somebody's here. He is looking for money. I want to pay for house rent. The moment you start praying, suddenly you will know that Christ, rich as he was, he became poor, that you might become rich. Somebody may be here. He's struggling with sickness. He said, I've done everything. I've done everything. Yes, you may have done what you know, but there's something you need to see. When you see that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, suddenly that sin will lose the power over you. And so the secret of the glorious life is the illumination of God that comes upon you through prayer. And so when people are not praying, they walk in darkness. And they say they know not. Neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. He said, but I have said, ye are gods, because ye are the children of the Most High God. So he's equating you into the order of the Christ. In Romans 8:17, it said, we are joint heirs with Christ. We are joint heirs. That means everything Christ owns, we co-heir with him. We co-share with him. We co-inherit with him. We co-manifest with him. And so, sometimes you know this thing so much, and you are intoxicated. You see, one person may come praying and say, Lord, heal me. That's correct. That's the light he has. Another person will be praying and say, thank you, Father, because I cannot be sick. Because if that same spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in me, he shall quicken my mortal body. And so where you live is your choice. You can live at the level of hoping, and you can live at the level of victory. It's all your choice. When you pray, what prayer does is to give you light. And that light is to show you the hope of your calling. The second thing is that light will show you is the exceeding riches of the saints in light. The third thing he said that light will show you is the power that raised up Jesus from the dead. That means nothing dies with you. Nothing dies. And when you enter this illumination, you stop praying for things to work. When you touch them, they work. Because nothing dies with you. When you enter that level of revelation, you stop praying for things to be secured around you. Because you are a part of it. It is already secure. They ask you, how? Is it God coming to secure it? God does not need to come. The power of resurrection is already with me. Because I'm a part of it, it cannot be destroyed. Because I'm a part of it, it cannot be wasted. Because I'm a part of it, it cannot die. This is what prayer does for you. Prayer moves you from the consciousness of a man to the consciousness of a God. Because hid in you is a divine dimension. I tell my people, when you do it the man way and it doesn't work, switch to the divine way. I can be with you. We are applying the principle. I can be with you. We are applying everything that men apply. When I apply the principle and it doesn't work, I say, give me 1 minute. I know something. Because there's a God element on your inside. And when you go back inside, you say, thank you, principles. You have worked thus far. Now I have to switch. And you begin to pray in the spirit. When you start praying like that, things begin to shake. That's when you will know that the law of flotation can be broken. Because when Jesus walked on water, he didn't deny the existence of principle, but there's a realm beyond principle. That's when you will know that even the law of gravity can be altered. Because when Jesus ascended, he didn't deny that law, but he lived above it. And Jesus did not just ascend, he ascended to a realm and it translated. I prophesy over someone tonight, all the weaknesses of your flesh, they are swallowed up in the name of Jesus. You will die and you are panicking. Can I tell you why you are panicking? You are panicking for two reasons. Number one, you believe in the doctor too much, and number two, you don't know who you are. You still think you survive by blood. That's why you are panicking. Was it not your blood they took and made the test? All the tests they carried out, what did they use? They use your blood, right? And that's why you are panicking. You think your life depends on your blood. But we don't live by blood alone. Everyone who is born again has three lives on his inside. There is the bios, which is the life of the blood. There is the suche, which is the life of the soul. And there is the zoe, which is the life of the spirit. Until they can do tests with zoe, it shouldn't move you. What did the doctor test on? The doctor test on blood and you lost your sleep. Did the doctor carry out the test on your zoe? You think you live by blood. That's why you lost your sleep. If you know that you live by Zoe, when the doctor tells you, the report from your blood shows that you will die, tell him you have just seen one over three of me. Have you checked Suche? Have you said Zoe? And so what you do is to superimpose Zoe. Rakwata, elakobata kapados, da 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 da, rakwata. There's a realm superior to blood. When I started ministry, they told me, your great-grandfather has to be a pastor. Your grandfather has to be a pastor. And your father too has to be a pastor for you to have a chance to survive. And I know priesthood. And I know there's an advantage. And then I went to God in prayer. Lord, even my father didn't speak in tongues. I was the one who led them to Christ. Should I go and look for a job? And God asked me a question. He said, where do you begin from? Do you begin from your grandfather? Or you begin from the resurrection? He said, do you know what happened when Christ was crucified? Do you know what happened when Christ was resurrected? And God asked me a question. He said, how come those whose grandfather and fathers are pastors are not born again automatically? He said, there's a heritage beyond that bloodline priesthood. Because there is the Levitical priesthood and there is the Melchizedek priesthood. The Melchizedek priesthood makes Jesus our ancestor. And so the ancestor you have is not the man whom son name you bear in the flesh. The ancestor you have is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Because he said, God said, let us make man in our own image. And so your ancestor is made up of the Godhead. And so if you are connected to Christ and if you are resurrected, all those records are blotted away. Because having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public show of them, triumphing over them by the cross. I didn't begin with my grandfather. I began from the resurrection. I want somebody to be intoxicated tonight. They preach weakness to you. They preach fear to you. That's why you've not taken what is yours in the spirit. Tonight, every heritage that is yours, as you are stepping into this, out of this auditorium, you are going with all of them in the name of Jesus. Who told you cancer can kill you? Who told you that man that cursed you can kill you? Have you not heard? There are men that cannot be cursed. There are men that cannot be cursed. He said your life is hid in Christ and Christ in God. He said whoever is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. How can they curse the Holy Ghost? You are not different from the Holy Spirit. You are joined to the Holy Ghost and you are one spirit with him. And so when they say anything to you, ask them, are you aware? What you tell me, you tell the Holy Ghost as well. Lift your hands to whatever. What you do now is to thank the Lord. You are more than a conqueror. When you pray, light comes. Light can intoxicate you. When this light intoxicates you, you will be shocked what will break out of you. Go ahead and thank the Lord for a glorious life. Go ahead and thank the Lord for a victorious life. I want to make a declaration over someone now. Because that cancer is about to expire. That deafness is about to expire. That blindness is about to expire. That reproach is about to expire. You wore that garment until light came. The moment light comes, your reality is made manifest. Go ahead and give thanks now. You are about to step into a new dimension.
Yeshua. Yeshua.
Can you pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute? Pray radically, radically. Barakatoma, Shebarada, Bariata, Vatega, Sesazina, Baroate, Tabakaya, Vatekaba. The yokes are breaking. The reproach is being rolled away. Everything they caught you, you are about to change it. Male, Brekaios, Bararadias, Batakaata, Varia, Balagado, Shakti. Vebrato Bella Kone, Ariada, Balalash, Mantekebara, Variado, Zatanda Lagavias, Blacko Sabate, Angelina, Mariana, Mantakabo, Vera Rose. They told you your business will crumble. No, no, it's time to talk to that business. The words you speak, they are spirit and life. Nothing crumbles with you. Nothing fails with you. Everything you touch prospers. Maleke Zosanish. They told you you will die. No, no, no. That's where the glory of God will shine. He said the light shines in the darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. They told you you will never get married. No. That's a wrong verdict. From where you came. He said, none shall desire her mate. None shall desire. None shall desire. Malish. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Barakano, Satatia, Bareno, Sabrata, Valali, Shadabana, Mantecaba, Vare de Devaliato, Aja de la Cavira Paradias, Mantecaba, Jabba, Jabba, Aferia, Taligabano, those who cost you,
expecting you to crumble. They are about to be surprised. Because your journey is from glory to glory. Baradosha. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Please hear this. Three things about to happen here now, quickly. Please lift your hands toward heaven. Some of you, you've labored under a curse. The curse is not what was told you. It's the ignorance that kept it on you. And now light has come. And so God is telling me, He's about to bring restoration to certain of you held back and held down by the powers of darkness. The wind of the Spirit will blow here now, and there are about seven of you that will be carried. It's just a sign, because God is about to move men. I was going to the prayer meeting on Monday, and the Holy Ghost told me, He said, everything you accomplished in 2022, you will accomplish them by the end of February. By February. That means in 2023, I will leave 2022 six times. There is a grace about to rest on someone. You have been in the pit for years. You have been held back for years. Right now is your time. Ushers, you will help me now. Because the Lord is about to rest on them. Holy Spirit, you are moving your children forward. My God, there are seven of you here very fast that the hand of God is coming upon to shift you from where you are to a place that will make you a wonder to your generation. Father, wherever they are by the Spirit, I call them forth now. Take that crown. Take that crown. Take that crown. Ushers, please help them quickly. All around this place. Take that crown. My God. My God. Help them, ushers, quickly. Take that crown. You are not being shifted alone. You are being coronated for glory. I move you forward. I move you forward. I move you forward. Take that crown. Bate. Varika. Sadak. Shalabana. Vararota. There is a fire resting on someone now. It's the revivalist spirit. The devil made you lukewarm and swallowed up your destiny. Now the horn of priesthood. A new rod is given to you. And it comes upon you like fire. Wherever you are, that one being clothed with a new garment. Take that fire now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. If you can't, just be quiet. Ushers, those God is touching, you can help them. I just want to lay hands on them quickly. You can just help guide them here to the left here. I want to touch them quickly. Just help them. Please lift your hands toward heaven. If I continue with intensity, we might lose consciousness of time. I'm seeing the Lord exhort men from our midst tonight. I'm making them like become like stars. Like stars. You know, you can hate a star, but there's nothing you can do about it. It's the destiny of a star to shine. It's by the hand of God. God is exhorting them. I'm making them like stars. As I'm talking now, the hand of God will begin to rest on them. Please, you don't need to do anything. Just lift your hand. If I continue, we may break into something we can't manage. Wherever they are here, the stars that God is raising in this season to shine forth His glory. Now I activate you. Come up hither. Come up hither. Please help them. You are in business, you are in ministry, you are in the academia, you are in government, by the Spirit, come up hither. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I want to run quickly and allow the elders make declarations. But hear this. If you are sick in your body, there's a growth, you have an ear condition, an eye condition, whatever it is that is a challenge, this is your hour. If you have an organ infection that you can't place hands on, just put your hands on your head. Now, if we can, let's be silent for a moment. The yoke of sickness is breaking. Just stay calm for a moment. All forms of pains are leaving people's bodies now. From neck pains to back pains to joint pains, they are going now. Growths are vanishing from people's bodies now. I command tumors dematerialize in the name of Jesus. Ear conditions, eye conditions, bone conditions, in the name of Jesus, now be healed. I break the chains of infirmities. Organs, brand new organs, are being handed now. I command kidney infections be healed in the name of Jesus. Liver conditions be healed in the name of Jesus. Prostate conditions be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just lift your hands toward heaven. Three persons have been anointed now for healing. They have been anointed now for healing. The fire will come so strong on one of you around here. It's a fresh fire, the power to address sickness. Whoever that one is, now step into that fire. Fresh oil for healing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I'm not going to call for testimonies now, so our elders can come make declarations as the atmosphere is sustained. After which, if time permits, we can take testimonies. Just lift your hands and stay sensitive.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.